in a relay race, there is an item or object that keeps the race going. In other words, you have four men or women, let's say it's the 4x100 meter relay, and these four men are connected by an object that they have to hand to the next person. And so when they're running around the track, they carry this object in their hands, the baton, which is sometimes steel or wood or plastic, and then they run up to the starting line, and the next guy's getting ahead of steam and get going, or the next lady in line, and they reach their hand behind and they grab a hold of that baton. Now, we have made famous the concept and the idea of passing the baton. In other words, it's become something that means so much more than just an Olympic race or running a race. You see, passing the baton can mean that we simply offer something significant in our life that we pass on to somebody else. In other words, we've taken the time to raise up the next generation, whether it's the next generation of leaders or the next generation of children in our home or whatever it might be. And so today for us, we want to talk about passing the baton. We want to talk about leaving a legacy, because parents and grandparents, that's something that every single one of us desires. We have this one great hope that we can mold into our children and grandchildren values and character, and that would become a part of their lives for their future. We want to leave a legacy as we strengthen our families, as we raise great kids. But sisters and brothers, we've been talking about that for 5 weeks, and that in and of itself is not enough. It's not just enough to want to raise our own great kids. For instance, in my family, my focus as a parent is to raise my children up to love Jesus Christ and to raise them up to be a part of the movement of the kingdom of God, the spirit of the living God here on this earth. And I hope that someday they'll pass those things along to other people, namely their children first. But for me, there is more to do as a parent. There's more for me to do. There's more responsibility for me to be a part of. Our life should count for more than 2 to 3 kids that we're related to by blood. Our life should count for more than just raising up our own family and our own children. God calls us to raise up the next generation. That ought to be our goal, to raise up great families, not just to raise up a great family. And that's what separates you, if you're a Christ follower, from the rest of the world. If you love Jesus Christ, there's two things that separate your family from other families. Number one, you're here to raise your children up in the ways of Jesus Christ and your grandchildren up in the ways of Jesus Christ. But secondly, and more importantly, you don't exist just to raise up your own kids. You exist to be there for the children of other families. You exist to be there for teens of other families and for young people and college students of other families. That's what separates a Christian family from the rest of the world. I mean, we want to leave a legacy to the next generation, don't we? Don't we want to do that? And Jesus did that. I mean, Jesus is the supreme example for everything we need to be in our own life. And even He did that. Here was a man without his own biological children. So what did he do? He invited 12 young men to follow him. And they did. And they lived life together. He performed miracles with them and for them. They served in ministry together. They ate meals together. They traveled together. He left a legacy for the next generation. Take a look at another biblical great, the Apostle Paul. He did the very same thing. Timothy was not one of his physical offspring, but one of his spiritual offspring. I mean, Timothy was a guy that he built into on a regular basis, a young man he believed in, and he took him everywhere he went. Here's a statement that Paul makes to Timothy. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men and women who will also be qualified to do what? To teach others. Sisters and brothers, passing the baton, leaving a legacy is a biblical principle. It's the call of God in our life for one generation to influence another. In Titus, Paul writes again when he urges older women to influence a younger generation of women. He writes, teach the older women to urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to go up and have their own career, whatever it might be. Now, there's a whole lot more that they're asked to do. I encourage you to go check it out when you get a chance on your own. But what he's saying here, basically, is there is an outright call to the older generation of women to reach out to the younger generation of women to do what? To simply build into them, to simply leave a legacy, to pass the baton to them. We've been studying the movie To Save a Life, and the main character is Jake Taylor. And he has all kinds of heartache and disappointment in his life. And you know what he does with that heartache and disappointment? He doesn't first go to his parents to talk to him about that. Where does he go? He goes to a young man by the name of Chris. Chris has taken an interest in Jake. Chris has been helping Jake with his life. Chris has been working to pass the baton on to Jake. Chris has been there to lift him up and to instill values into his life. And Chris is not related to Jake by blood at all. I want us to watch this movie clip and see the significance of how it's important and why it's important for the older generation to reach out to an unrelated younger generation. Let's go and watch that right now. I ask you, is it a good thing for an older generation to take interest to an unrelated younger generation? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for several people that go beyond the influence of Aaron and myself as parents of my daughter Tana and the rest of my children. I'm thankful for people like Amber Stover and Ray Dickey and the Jimmy Brights of the world. Here are people that have had as much influence over my teenage daughter in the last 3 years as just beyond where Aaron and I've had influence. More influence than maybe anybody else other than the two of us. And don't you know that as a parent, I want this for my child. We want healthy outside influences for our children to help us make them the best kids that they can possibly be. And for these three people, they've done this for Tana. They've given a place for Tana to be able to go and to talk to them. They've given her a place where she can go and open up. They've given her a place where she can go and wrestle with life's issues. They've kind of been a new voice for my teenage daughter, and our teenagers need more voices than just the two of us as parents. Am I right here? Don't we all want this for our kids? Don't we all want healthy outside influences other than within our own family to come alongside of ours? Great families have good outside influences that help them raise their children. Your family needs this. And likewise, other great families need your help. The shoe fits on both feet. We need help in our own family, and we need to be a help for other families. That is true Christianity, isn't it? That is Christianity at its core. That's a relationship with Jesus at its core. That we're willing to step out and to stand up and to help people raise up their families in a great way. One generation teaching another. One generation passing the baton on to another. One generation modeling and loving people in Jesus Christ out of love and raising them up. Last year, we lost several significant youth leaders in our ministry, and we still have some great servant volunteers there, but I kind of had to step up and be involved more than I had been in my time here at Old Fort Church. And during that time, I've had the rich satisfaction of working with young people and see the light bulb come on and the amazing work that God does in their hearts. And it's just been so rewarding to be a part of helping to raise the next generation. Now, it's had its sets of challenges, too. Okay. I'm not here to say that it's been all fun and games, and it's probably one of the greater challenges I have here as pastor. But there's nothing more satisfying that I've personally experienced than helping to raise up the next generation. In 08 and 09, we had a Heidelberg student here by the name of Jimmy Bright, and he became a student intern and worked in our youth ministry. And Aaron and I came alongside of him, and one of the things that he and I did is that we met weekly, not just about business, but he and I met weekly for his spiritual formation, to talk about God, to talk about how he's reacting to a certain experience or how that ministry is affecting his heart. And I was working to pass the baton to him. I wanted to take whatever I learned and experience it, and I just desperately wanted to give it to him. And for whatever it was, I wanted him to have it. He could do with it whatever he wanted. I wanted to pass it along to him. And today he's now doing the same thing for other ministry leaders and other people in ministry, serving Liberty Chapel in Liberty Center. Yeah, Liberty Center, Ohio. Liberty Chapel, Liberty Center. It's there. He's raising up people in ministry. He's raising up young adult leaders. And what a gift it was for me personally to be able to hang out with him and just to build into him and to raise up the next generation. So how do we influence the next generation? That's a great question for us to answer, and we're going to work our way through that for the rest of this moment in time together. First of all, we got to start with our own generation. You start with your own generation because that will give you the credibility you need with the next generation. That's the place where we can develop a servant's heart. That's the place where God has called us and purposed us to be working with our peers, to help them know Jesus Christ and to love them in a great way. It says in Acts, when King David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. That's our purpose, to start with our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones, our peers. Because here's what happens. If we can cultivate a heart of servanthood with those folk, then don't you know that when we go to the next generation, they will have seen it from us and not just be hearing it from us. we will have that bleed over from those relationships into these new relationships in the next generation. They will see it in you. And sisters and brothers, when you go to the next generation, they've got to see it, not just hear it. And David didn't stop at serving his peers. He let it move him to do the same with that next generation. He writes in Psalm, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O Lord, till I declare your power to the next generation." Isn't that powerful? David spent his whole life up until his dying days begging God to use him amongst his peers, but not just amongst his peers, but amongst the next generation. "Oh Lord, may I not leave this earth until I've passed the baton. May I not finish this race until I've handed it off to somebody else. God, I desperately want to leave something with the next generation." And in order to do that, not only do we start off with our own generation, we've got to care about the next generation. We've got to care about our next generation. Even though most of our college students are on break here, spring break, I want any college student that's here today to hear these words. You matter to God. Our college students matter to God. They matter to us here at Old Fort Church. I know they do because I've heard you talk about them and love on them and care for them and pray for them. I love knowing people like Matt and James and Tim and Corey and Rachel and Jenna. I love the next generation. How about you? I love the next generation. Here's how you know if you can tell if you love the next generation or not. Do you care for them? Do you care for them? Do you pay attention to them? If you care for somebody, you're going to pay attention to them. Take Mike, for example. I mean, Mike has been going down to the Heidelberg campus every Monday night to campus fellowship for as long as I've known him. And he doesn't have to tell the folk down there how much he cares about them because they see it and they experience it. And that blesses their life. That speaks volume. Do you care? Youth ministry for me has been a wonderful experience, and I've had to work hard at learning to notice their interests, learning to pay attention to what they're thinking about, because that shows them that what? I care. I can't just say to them I care. I got to show it to them. As a sophomore in college, I met Tom Rohde. And Tom Rohde was a man who devoted his whole life and has still devoted his whole life to campus ministry with Campus Crusade for Christ. He's a full-time paid staff member, and his whole family revolves around that experience. He took notice of me as a sophomore in college, and because of that, we built a relationship. And he invested in me, and he believed in me. He told me that I had gifts. He encouraged me. He lifted me up. He nurtured me. He cared for me. Do you not think my parents were so glad that I ran into someone like that when I was at college? You better believe it, because I started out in the bars, my friends. I mean, my first social experience was in the bar. That was my last time in the bars, I tell you that. I found someone who invested in me and cared for me when my parents couldn't do it on their own. Parents, if you think you can care for your kids and raise them up in the ways of Jesus Christ on your own, you are lost. That is not the case. That is not the truth. We need good and healthy outside influences. And so the question for us today is, do we personally care for the next generation? If we care that people care for our kids, do you care about our college students? Do you care about our youth and our kids? And if so, then how are you showing it? How are you doing it in a practical way? What are you doing to show that you care? One of the ways you can do that is by teaching a few. Teaching a few in the next generation. King David, "Each generation will announce to the next, God, your wonderful and powerful deeds." Your wonderful and powerful deeds. I love that. It's a power transfer of experiences of God entering into our life and by the grace of God passing those experiences on to the next people and talking about Jesus and living like Jesus and doing that together. I mean, there are great leaders in American history that a lot of us know. But then there are the unsung heroes that are still as equally great, maybe even more so in American history, one of which that you may not know is a lady called Henrietta Mears. Henrietta Mears loved the next generation. At an early age, she became a Sunday school teacher in her local church, and she did that for the next 35 years. She taught generations of amazing folk. Now, as unknown as she might have been, is as well known as some of the kids that she raised up in her ministry. Maybe some of you know a guy by the name of Bill Bright. He's only the guy who's responsible for raising up the world's largest missionary organization, Campus Crusade for Christ. Now, Bill's no longer with us here on earth. He's in heaven. But that man has and is continuing to leave a legacy. Now, you might not have heard of Henrietta Mears, but maybe you heard of a young man who found Jesus Christ at an early age at a camp that she established for kids. A small and simple guy like Billy Graham. Billy Graham found Jesus Christ. at a camp that Henrietta Mears started. She influenced the founder of Young Life, and Young Life is basically the high school equivalent of Campus Crusade for Christ, a ministry to high school students, pretty significant. She influenced more than 400 young folk to full-time Christian ministry. And I got to ask myself, what if she had said she was too busy to teach a Sunday school class? What if she had said, I don't like missing worship on Sunday morning to go work with the kids? What if she had said, working with kids aren't my thing. I can barely stand my own. All right? I mean, what if she had said, I know someone else is taking care of that, so I'm going to be comfortable in my own experience. What if she had said those things? Sisters and brothers, we are surrounded with young people in Old Fort Church. Praise God. We're surrounded in our communities with young people, college students, teenagers, and children. What an amazing potential we have. Will we be a Henrietta and teach a few? Or will we justify our way out of our responsibilities to reach the next generation? You see, strong families need strong churches. Strong families need strong churches filled with people who are there to help their kids. I was thinking of Henrietta Mears. I think in Old Fort Church we have our own Henrietta Mears. I was thinking of Pat Overmeyer. I was thinking of a woman who has been a great influence over the years for several generations, who has been passing the baton to kids. And to some of you as adults here, you remember being in her youth group or possibly even taught in a class. And she's built a legacy and she's passed the baton on to the next generation. And not only does she work with kids in this church, she works, if that's not enough on the weekends, on a Wednesday night, she works with kids in 4-H. And she devotes her time there, building into them. And maybe she'll never really fully realize the impact that she might have had. I mean, I think of guys like Cal Cook and who else have we sent out of here recently? Kevin King, out in ministry, the Jimmy Brights of the world. I mean, people here at this church have been an influence to them. I bet Cal Cook and Kevin King probably sat in on her youth group when she was teaching. I don't know the specifics. I wasn't here for that. But I do know that she's making an impact. And as a parent, I'm grateful for people like Pat. I'm grateful for her influence upon them because my kids like coming to church. And I hated coming to church when I was a kid. I thought it was God-awful. Can I say that in the church? It was boring. I hated it. I hated it. And my kids love coming to this church because of people like Mike and his music ministry and because of people like Pat. Because of people like Pat who are making a difference and having an influence on them. And as a parent, I love that. I love it when people on the outside have a great influence on my kids on the inside. Think about that for a second. You are destined to make an influence on kids that are on the outside, on the inside of their hearts. Lastly, we need to invest in a few. Care about a few, teach a few. We need to invest in a few. That is exactly what Jesus did to reach out to the next generation. That's exactly what he did. And Mark, here's this example. He said, listen here. Jesus climbed a mountain and invited those he wanted with him. They climbed together. He settled on 12, designating them apostles. The plan was that they would be with him, and he would send them out to proclaim the word and give them authority to banish demons. So here's Jesus' grand vision. He has a grand vision for the next generation. He wants to empower them in the name of himself, in the name of the Father, God, and the Holy Spirit, to send them out to make a difference, to impact the kingdom for God's sake, to make a difference, to change lives. He's going to send them out. And guess what? He has an elaborate and detailed plan to accomplish this task. And here's what it says. The plan was that they would be with him. Is there not more? Are you serious? That all he did, his great and grand plan to raise up the next generation and to raise up the next generation of great leaders who are going to have a godly influence on this earth, is to hang out with them? To be buddies? Absolutely yes. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. You don't need to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to have a dynamic personality. You don't have to be a relational giant, you know, the person that's the life of the party when they walk into the room. All you need, according to Jesus, is two things to invest in the next generation. You need desire. You need desire. What's the first verse say? Jesus climbed a mountain and invited those who what? He wanted with him. He wanted with him. I'm just going to lay it out there. A lot of the reasons why we don't get involved in children's ministry or sacrifice a Sunday a month to get involved with kids is because we just don't want to. We don't have a desire to. Let's just be honest. Let's just throw it out there. Let's just name the elephant in the room. We just don't want to be bothered with it. We don't want to adjust our routine. Or we've already done it, and now it's somebody else's turn. We just don't want to mess with what's going on in here. There's not a desire for us to do that. And if that's the case, then we have to take our want-tos to God and have Him give us new want-tos, if you want to. Okay? I look at a guy like Steve Sproul. I've known Steve for what? You've been 2 years? Just a little bit over 2 years, Steve? Yeah. And I remember Steve when he first came here. He was new to the faith, and he was learning about God and Jesus Christ. And there was a day early on where you came to me and said, I want to hang out with youth. And I said, okay, that's fine. Why don't you show up on Wednesday night? And that's exactly what Steve did. Now, Steve will probably be the first person to tell you that he is not a rocket scientist, right? Or a biblical scholar, right? You would probably even admit that you are not the relational giant. You're usually not the life of the party when you walk into a room, right? But you want to know what's something? The teenagers in this church love you. The teenagers in this church love you. And you may not say five words at some of our team meetings, but when you're not here, and I always tell you this, what do they say? Where's Steve? Where's Steve? Because Steve is here every time he can be, except for when he's at work. And that's the only thing that keeps you from not only the meetings on Wednesday nights, but from ministries and outreach. And because of that, just because of your presence, because of your willingness to be with the teens, they respect you and they love you and they know that you care, not because of what you say, but because you are there. You are there, which is the second thing that Jesus tells us we need, availability. We need desire and we need availability. Jesus made room in his schedule for these 12 guys, and it wasn't necessarily an inconvenience to him, although he made some adjustments. All he did was keep doing what he was already doing, and he invited them to join him in his daily routine, in his daily routine. And he made his life available to them in doing so. They had dinner together. You have to eat, right? Well, why not invite somebody else to do that with you? You got to drive somewhere, so he was probably driving the disciples anywhere they needed to go. They brought their laundry to his house and probably did their laundry there. When Jimmy Bright was a part of our ministries here at Old Fort Church, when he was still a student at Heidelberg, one of the things Aaron and I did is come alongside of him and said, hey, listen, you have an open invitation to dinner at our house. You have an open invitation to come over whenever you want. And he took us up on it. He came over for dinner. We watched basketball games together. We hung out together. He spent time with my kids. I mean, there was even one evening where our family was going car shopping. We took him with us. Of course, we had him watch our kids while we took a test drive in the car, but... Then we took him out for pizza afterwards. I mean, we just kind of treated him like he was one of our kids. We went to the county fair together at the end of the summer. He even stayed the night at our house when we weren't there and we were on vacation. I mean, basically we adopted him. He was like our adopted son for a time there. I'm not that old, though. I mean, come on. And you know what? I remember talking to his mom one time, and she just said to me, thank you so much for being a part of his life, for Old Fort Church, for you guys taking an interest in him, for you believing in him, for you being there through all of his struggles and all of his great times and all of the celebrations that he's had in the last few years. She says, it does a mom's heart good to know there's an outside influence when I can't be around to be there for my son. Sisters and brothers, wouldn't we share the same thing? And I just thought to myself, hey, listen, I didn't even do anything. I just invited him along. I just made myself available. And that's really all we did. You see, we have college students in this church, and they represent the next generation, and many of them are far away from home. Are we available? Are we ready to adopt a college student? Is this something that we're ready to do? I mean, great families partner with others in local churches who are willing to reach out to help them with their children. We've got college students here. We've got teenagers. We've got kids. We need to be a church that is about raising the next generation. We've got to be a church that is all about raising up the next generation. You guys remember the 2008 Olympics? And the 4x100 men's relay team, Tyson Gay and a couple of other guys in that group, I mean, they were just all world. We had no problem. We're going to win the gold. Gold was just in the pocket, right? It was guaranteed, right? Well, the first two runners did all right. Remember what happened with the exchange between Darvis Patton and Tyson Gay? The baton fell to the ground. Not only did we not win gold, we didn't win anything. There was a whole nation that was in shock. What happened the next day? Well, the whole nation of America put their belief and hope on the shoulders of what? The 4x100 women's relay team. What did they do? Remember this? They dropped the baton too. They dropped the baton. Sisters and brothers, may that never be said of us at Old Fort Church. As we pray, as we get down on our knees, may we never miss a beat. May we never drop the baton in the call that God has for us to raise up the next generation. There's a Chinese proverb that says, if you want to be happy for an hour, take a nap. That is so true. If you want to be happy for a day, go fishing. If you want to be happy for a month, get married. If you want to be happy this is a Chinese proverb, not mine. All right? if you want to be happy for a year, inherit a fortune. But if you want to be happy for a lifetime, help someone. Pass the baton. If you want to have happiness for a lifetime, invest in somebody. The greatest joy in life is when you help someone and you pass it on to the next generation. When you leave a legacy and you pass the baton. I want to invite our worship team to come forward and also for our communion servants to come forward. And as they do that, here's three quick action steps for you. First of all, take an interest in our youth and just show up on a Wednesday night or help out with a special event. Or if you can help out on Sunday mornings, we need help at a Sunday school class at 10 o'clock or for special events. Secondly, consider adoption. Consider adopting a college student. Make yourself available to them. I don't know, invite them over to do laundry. Invite them over for a meal. Take them to someplace they need to go with your car, whatever that might be. And thirdly and finally, help other families get stronger by helping with their children, by serving their children here in this church. And we've got opportunities on Sundays, Wednesday nights. Thank God. Thank God we are a church that has crayon on the walls and crumbs on the floor. Thank you, Jesus. Because churches without crumbs on the floor and churches without crayons on the wall is usually a sign that those churches are dying. Sisters and brothers, we have an opportunity to be a blessing to so many young people that God has blessed us with. Let's embrace that. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he was hanging around with those 12 men that he picked out of the crowd and who said yes to following him. And he had spent years and days and weeks and months investing into their lives. And he grabbed a loaf of bread and he broke it in front of them. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." He says, "As often as you eat of this, do it in remembrance of me." What was he doing? Not only was he offering himself as a sacrifice, but he was saying to them, "I want you to do for the next generation what I've been doing with you." And literally, when we share the elements of communion, Jesus is handing down principles and practices and commitments that he wants us to hand down to other people. And what did he do? He distributed the bread amongst them. He empowered them and he gave it out and he gave it away and he gave of his broken body to us. And then after that, he reached over and he grabbed the cup and he poured the wine and we serve grape juice here. And he said, "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins so that no more sacrifices are necessary. This is the one sacrifice for all time." You see, he didn't just die for his generation. He died for every generation to come that will ever walk this earth. He died for the whole world. All those that have come and that will come. Because he has a heart to reach everybody. And he's going to do that through us. And he passed that cup around too. In just a moment, I'm going to have you come forward and you're going to tear off a piece of the bread and you're going to dip it in the cup and partake of the elements. Please know that this communion table is open to everyone. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter if you're visiting from another church or you're still a part of another denomination, or maybe you haven't been to church in 100 years. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What does matter is your heart. Are you willing to come forward and open up your heart and have a conversation and a meeting with God when you come up here? Let God in and let him do a new thing. Let's say a prayer together. God, thank you so much for all that you do in our life. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he made on the cross for our sins. God, thank you that you have given us the opportunity to pass on that knowledge and that experience of you for generations to come. Lord, may we pass the baton. May we honor you and the sacrifice you made for us by letting others know about that sacrifice, by instilling values and character into children and teenagers and college students. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless this church to be a blessing to generations that come. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite our two servant teams to move to the sides of the sanctuary here. And I want to invite you to come to the center aisle, and I want to invite you to come forward. Would you please come?
Go this week. Have a great week. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock for prayer if you have the opportunity. God bless you.